Jason Matera here filling in for Jason Rantz. I woke up today and my throat was scratchy. I blame my filling in yesterday. Can I do that, Tom? I don't even know if I can do that. But I mean,
logical.
Yeah, the cough. So if hear me cough, if I don't shut my mic off in time, you can bear with me.
Rookie.
Well, you don't have a cough button here. So I have to shut my mic on, and then I remember to turn it back on, which, granted, is not too difficult. But let's get back to the format of the show, and you know what's coming, right?
What's trending? The environment.
The environment. So NPR just had a report that essentially takes the oxygen out of the air for all these progressives in different states now leading the charge, including our state, to outright ban plastic bags. We have it banned already in Seattle. There are some areas that have banned plastic bags, but there's a bill that's making its way through the legislature right now that would have a statewide ban in Washington against plastic bags. And, of course, it's postured as this is helpful for the environment. Of course, nobody ever asked the question, well, is it? Is it actually helpful for the environment? Well, somebody actually finally did. A professor at the University of Sydney. She's an economist by the name of Rebecca Taylor. She studied, according to NPR, she studied the ban on plastic bags. People in cities where the bans take place, used fewer plastic bags, which led to about 40 million fewer pounds of plastic trash per year. But people who used to reuse their bags, these plastic bags for shopping or other purposes like picking up dog poop, lining trash bags in your bathroom, let's say, well, they still needed bags. So according to Rebecca Taylor, what I found out was that the sales of garbage bags actually skyrocketed after plastic grocery bags were banned. This was particularly the case for small 4-gallon bags, which saw a 120% increase in sales after bans went into effect. Now, you know this is to be true. Once you had, I had my, under the sink, basically, of my house was just full of plastic bags. They're full plastic bags that I would get from the grocery store when I go shopping. And apparently a lot of people did this, and they reused it for a variety of purposes. Now there's no plastic bags, so people are buying more garbage bags, plastic garbage bags. But here's where the big shocker comes in. And as NPR says, plastic haters, it's time to brace yourself. A bunch of studies find that paper bags are actually worse for the environment. They require cutting down and processing trees, which involves lots of water, toxic chemicals, fuel, and heavy machinery. While paper is biodegradable and avoids some of the problems of plastic, Rebecca Taylor, the economist out of the University of Sydney, says the huge increase of paper, together with the uptick in plastic trash bags, means banning plastic shopping bags increases greenhouse gas emissions. Oh, how's that for virtue signaling? The unintended consequence of what you were telling us you were trying to save, or salvage, or protect the environment. Well, greenhouse gases actually are increasing. What about tote bags? Tote bags. These reusable bags that you see a lot of people, I have them too. You put them on, you get them and shop at Trader Joe's. Well, tote bags, because of their greenhouse gas emissions, if you get one of these organic cotton tote bags, the amount of energy and greenhouse gases that are produced from creating them, according to this researcher, you would have to use an organic cotton bag 20,000 times more than a plastic grocery bag to make it using it better for the environment. Tom, did you get that? You would have to use an organic cotton tote bag more than 20,000 times for it to have a beneficial effect for the environment, as opposed to just using that run-of-the-mill plastic bag.
That's 20,000 more times than I've used them already, I think.
20,000 more times than you've used them already. Amazing. So, where virtue signaling goes wrong, it usually does, by the way. So if you think it makes you feel better that you're using, you're using a tote bag and you're protecting turtles or whatever your justification is, No, you're actually harming the environment more so. So don't be a denier. Use a plastic bag. All right, what's next?
What's trending? Eco scams.
Oh, eco scams. Speaking about deniers. There's this far left website. It's called Think Progress. And they posted something, and it's unintentionally getting the type of buzz they didn't want to attract. This happens to deal with the climate science and global warming or climate change, whatever the fashionable phraseology is of the day. Now it's climate change. Well, according to this far-left Think Progress, there's a new study. It's done by researchers at Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research. And it was published, the study was published in Science Advances. As it turns out, these researchers have determined, according to their models, that current CO2 levels of 410 parts per million, what's in the atmosphere now, current CO2 levels of 410 parts per million were last seen on Earth, 3 million years ago. According to the most detailed reconstruction of the Earth's climate by these researchers. Now, Tom, correct me if I'm wrong. 3 million years ago, there were no SUVs.
Well, I think I should fact check that, but I think you're right.
Think you're right. Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong, Tom. 3 million years ago, people were not barbecuing their steaks and hamburgers.
That I know is correct.
Okay. Yeah. 3 million years ago, cows were not farting and causing methane to rise in the atmosphere. We're sure.
What, were there not cows 3 million?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so. Nobody knows what was inhabiting the planet that long ago. Only God knows.
Gotcha.
But I'm pretty sure. It's not cows weren't there. Now, okay. What about aerosol cans? Were they around 3 million years ago?
No.
They were not. They were not. Tom, you have successfully answered all of these trick questions.
Hey man, I just wake up, you know, put on my pants one day at a time. I'm no different than you guys.
That is true. You take life as it comes at you. Well, according to these scientists, we have the same amount of carbon, CO2 levels now, than we had 3 million years ago. Not only that, Greenland, they said, or West Antarctica, and much of East Antarctica, the ice was gone, they say, 3 million years ago. This is according to a far-left website, by the way, Think Progress, who is on the side of espousing climate change ideology. So, is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez right? We have 12 years to live. Well, I mean, if the climate hasn't really changed that much in the amount of carbon that's in the atmosphere, carbon dioxide in the atmosphere from, say, 3 million years ago, I think we may squeak by another 12 years. That is just my guess. Okay. What do we have next?
What's trending? What a dumb tweet.
What a dumb... That's a good one. I like that bumper.
Yeah, we got a large archive.
You got a large archive. Okay. I should say, by the way, if you want to text our non-better tax resolution hotline, that number is 800-465-8770. I see texts coming in. One says, is Jason okay?
Let's just leave that open. Let's just not answer that. I love that that's where his mind goes first.
And where is Jason?
Is he being held hostage somewhere?
I don't know. I don't think.
Did he catch measles?
He could be. He did. He went to one of the measles parties that are taking place in New York. He did not. Don't worry. I should say my name is Jason Matera, filling in for Jason Rants this day if you're just joining us. Okay, what was the bumper or something on Twitter?
Yeah, we're on number three.
Okay, there we go. Thank you. Holding me accountable here, Tom, in the studio. All right, the New York Times crossword, their crossword puzzle, which is known for being very difficult. It's difficult to crack this puzzle. And they have a Twitter feed, apparently. The New York Times crossword puzzle has their own Twitter feed. Well, somebody... A 17-year-old, a teenager, who says he's a self-avowed communist and has as his Twitter icon a dog, tweeted at the New York Times crossword puzzle, Twitter handle and said, if you're the first to complete the New York Times crossword puzzle on any given day and are able to deliver conclusive evidence of this feat, the New York Times editorial staff will allow you to execute one pundit of your choice. Full legal amnesty and all. This is a 17-year-old self-identified communist who is clearly joking, has a dog as his Twitter icon. And the New York Times, their crossword puzzles handle responds and says, it's not true. It's not true that the New York Times editorial staff will allow you to kill someone, a pundit of your choice. It says, no, it's not true and it's not funny. Someone will listen to you and think you are serious. Really? Really? Someone's going to listen to this kid and think he's serious. We're going to get to more of what's trending. Okay, Jason Matera here filling in for Jason Rantz. We're back with what is trending. What's on tap next?
What's trending? Let's get political.
Wait, let's get political.
We're on number four.
We're on number four. Oh, that's right. You know what? I don't have that one in front of me. So let's go to the next one. We'll have to cover that one.
Number five. All right.
Let's go to number five.
Give me a second. Here we go.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
You can't make this up. I don't even know what happened to that other one. That's a good one. But we'll get to it. You can't make this up. Okay. There's a new condom company based out of Argentina. And they are creating a condom that emphasizes, they say, the importance of consent. As though it needs to be emphasized. Apparently people didn't know. If you have sex with a person, both parties need to consent. But they are emphasizing the importance of consent. How? A new condom that is designed so that it takes four hands to open it. The condom is called the Consent Pack. Four hands. There are four different buttons on the box, and in order to open it, one person must hit two adjacent buttons while the second person hits the other two. Now, call me old-fashioned, Tom, but this doesn't seem too romantic.
Oh, you're old-fashioned.
I am old-fashioned. The Consent Pack. Who is buying the consent pack? And another question, if you're an individual who wants to sexually assault another individual, would you buy the consent pack? Probably not. I mean, what market is there for a consent pack? You need an instruction manual in order to open a package of condoms. You need four hands. It takes four hands. Imagine that. Whatever music you're having on in the background. You have your candles lit. You get in your significant other in the mood, and then hold on. Well, I need to take your side. I'll take my side. Rip. Oh, everyone's consenting.
That just sounds complicated.
It does sound complicated. It sounds absurd. What? Who even thinks this is a... I mean, apparently, this Argentinian condom producer thinks it's a good... What if... my question was... I was thinking through this. Like, what if there's a malfunction, a defect? You can't manage to get it open. Is there a customer service line that you call?
Yeah, but you're going to be on hold forever.
You're going to be on hold.
Yeah, they're notorious for that.
So you're on hold, and you want to figure out how to open... Now, while you're on hold, a lot of things could happen. One, I mean, the mood is certainly could evaporate, right?
Yeah.
There's one. Blood flow could stop. Blood flow can decrease significantly where it needs to be increasing significantly. There's one. I mean, it's just... Then what if your customer service rep, like we have here in America, you call and it's a foreigner? Like you call Comcast.
Can't understand.
You call Comcast. The person's clearly from, you know, some other country, even though they have an American name. They have a thick Indian accent, yet their name is John or Jason. Sorry, your name is not John or Jason. Tell me your real name.
Next thing you know, you're walking back into the IKEA like your instructions are wrong.
Gosh, so I can't open the consent condom.
This is just ridiculous.
Anyway, there is a consent condom out there. What if What if the person doesn't have any hands? What if there's a disability?
Well, then they're discriminating.
In fact, we have Mike in Renton. He texts in the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline and says, why are they discriminating against quadriplegic relationships? That is a good point.
Well, they're also discriminating against people who are single. So, I mean, they're hitting a broad range of people.
Well, you're not going to use a condom on yourself.
No, but there are other, for example, the industry has become very successful with their creation of like, for lack of a better term, the doll.
You know what? Here's a great example why people are reverting to have sex with robots. Is because sex has become so complicated to now that people are creating consent condoms. So, yeah, you're having a growing number of probably men who are saying, why bother? I'm just going to, go buy a doll off the internet. I'm going to have sex with a doll. But I can't imagine it's as satisfying.
The doll cannot help open the package.
The doll cannot help. Well, the doll has hands, I think, right? You just need to have your hands on the package at the same time and the doll's hands, which could get into a very... It can be very
It's harder than an NYT crossword puzzle.
That is true. Don't mess with the New York Times crossword puzzle Twitter handle and accuse them of being complicit in mass murder. They will tweet you back. All right, what's next?
What's trending on the campaign trail?
Okay, this segue is terrible. We're going from the consent condoms to something more serious, and that is Eric Swalwell. Eric Swalwell. He is a California Democrat. His stock has risen within progressive circles recently. I would say within the last 3 years for sure. You see him on television a lot. He even goes on, I will give him credit, he does go on not just MSNBC or CNN. He does go on Fox News occasionally. But his big issue, what is it, like 17 or 18 Democrats now in the race? His issue, he's a single-issue campaigner, and he's running on, he's very clear, he's running on taking away your guns, taking away our guns. Gun control is a signature issue. In fact, he released. Now, this is important, right? This guy has no shot, no prayer to ever become president. But it's revelatory. This reveals every time we have a topic of there's some shooting, right? And there's a topic of gun control. Progressives have been saying, oh, we don't want to take away your guns. No one's coming to take away your guns. What are you? You're just a crazy conservative. This is just a conspiracy. It's all in your head. It's all in your head, Jason. This guy releases his platform. His platform includes licensing of gun owners, not just to carry a carry permit, but to have a firearm in your house, you need a federal approval, which is like saying you need federal approval to go and worship the god of your choice or be part of a religion or speak your mind. You need federal approval, which is crazy. Requiring gun owners to carry insurance, forced to get insurance to help offset the cost of criminal use of firearms. So we have to get insurance to help offset someone who uses a firearm illegally. Creation of a federal database of gun owners. The criminalization of private gun sales. This is usually referred to as a universal background check. And assault weapons ban. Of course, anytime you hear the word assault weapons ban, you know the person has no idea what they're talking about because you cannot buy an assault weapon on the civilian market. But he wants to ban them. An assault weapons ban. And not only ban them, but he says a mandatory buyback of banned assault weapons. So nobody's grandfathered in of his grand scheme. If you have an AR-15, you have a semi-automatic rifle in your house, you should have them. By the way, you should have many semi-automatic firearms in your house, especially AR-15. But he's saying if you have one of these, there must be a mandatory buyback program. And he points to Australia, what they did back in the 90s, and New Zealand, just last week, as leading the way, people, politicians who are taking a courageous stand to protect people by disarming them. You know what? If this were ever to get passed, I would want written in the legislation that whatever politician is espousing and advancing a mandatory buyback program, that they must be responsible and they must commit themselves to going door to door themselves. They must, Eric Swalwell and his compatriots, must go door to door themselves and try to force us to buy back, give up our AR-15. And, you know, Mr. Swalwell, you know, you can start at my house. I'll be glad to entertain you. My name is Jason Matera here, filling in for Jason Rantz. We have the big local coming up. Thieves stealing thousands of dollars of tools from a Renton church. What lowlights, right?
Snoqualmie, Mercer Island, Des Moines.
This is the big local on the Jason Rantz Show.
Shoreline, Woodinville, Burien.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
That's right, Jason Matera here filling in for Jason Rantz and the Big Local. This segment is brought to you by Dr. Sean Keller and Smiles by Design, where we focus on stories and issues that just aren't in Seattle, because if we did that, well, we would all be depressed. And for those of us who have the misfortune of living in Seattle, we're depressed enough. I don't want to impose that depression on you. This story is from Cairo. We'll start it off. Flash floods in Pullman trap people along the North Grand Avenue. Evacuations were ongoing last night into this morning in Pullman as flash flooding left people trapped downtown. Very scary. The flooding occurred when the South Fork of the Palouse River overflowed, sending water rushing down North Grand Avenue. Pullman Fire said the fast-moving water trapped a number of people and businesses there. It took a firefighter riding on a bulldozer to rescue one man who was trapped. Thank you to our first responders who are always there, especially in situations like that, risking their lives when some freak event occurs like this flash flooding. Okay, let's see. What do we have? This is from, what is this from, Olympia? This is from Olympia.
The Olympian.
The Olympian, okay. With funding questions unresolved, Olympia schools prepare for cuts. Oh! With weeks to go in the legislative session and no clear answers on school funding, Olympia School District is telling its principals to plan on having 29 fewer teachers across the district next year. We know there will be some relief coming from the state. We just don't know how much, and we don't know when, the superintendent, Patrick Murphy, told the school board at a Monday meeting on possible budget cuts. The district is projecting an $8.5 million deficit for the upcoming school year. Well, you know what? If you look at sometimes year to year, but definitely a five-year increment, the amount of money pouring into education constantly goes up. So these stories, and they're written as a way to generate sympathy. Oh my gosh, 29 teachers maybe laid off. This is, taxes need to go up. The legislature needs to do something. Well, or you can work within your budget constraints, or you can not spend money you don't have. It's amazing. Education spending constantly goes. I think in the state, the average spent on a child is $14,000. $14,000, which is the average. It's even more here. I mean, it's in Seattle, but we're not talking about Seattle. How about you do like, you live like every American family, most families, and that is you live within your means. You budget within a means. And moreover, are we getting our money's worth? We see all this money poured into education, massive amounts of money poured into education over the years. Are we seeing our money's worth? Do we think our schools are better? Do we think the teaching is better? Do we think the students are more prepared for high school and for college? Are they more educated? Or, as survey after survey says, are they dumber because they're being taught things about gender identity and white privilege and other progressive nostrums. So, 29 fewer teachers. Okay. All right, here is from Como News. Out in Renton, a Renton church in the middle of constructing a new sanctuary has now been the target of thieves. This is Renton Bible Church. The Renton police said someone sold thousands of dollars worth of power tools volunteers desperately need to finish the project. Police think the thieves used a drill to break into a trailer outside the sanctuary construction site. Even sadder, the church, according to Como, was not surprised. It's just something that we've come to expect, said Pastor Dan Gannon. We've seen many burglaries in my 16 years here. That is unfortunate. I mean, it used to be a code among thieves. You may be too young for this, but there used to be a code among thieves, Tom. And that is areas you left untouched, right? Churches being one of them. You didn't rob churches. Not at all. Churches were considered the safest place because even the most hardened criminal would leave a church alone. How much you want to bet once they find these thieves? I should phrase it this way. Would you be surprised, Tom, if these power tools that were stolen were found in a tent somewhere?
I think that's the odds-on favorite.
That's the odds-on favorite, yes.
I'm going to guess maybe not religious as well, the people, the thieves.
Probably not. Probably not. There's no fear of God, none of the thou shall not steal blocking you from carrying out this act. But if you're close to the Renton Bible Church and you want to either donate your money or donate your time, or if there are power tools that you have that you just don't use, I'm sure they would love to hear from you, and I do hope this incident helps them beef up their security. All right. Oh, we have one more, right? We have one more. If I can get to it here on the Big Local. Yes, Snohomish County family released after being detained in Arizona. This from King 5. Immigration and Custom Agents have released three members of a Snohomish County family who were detained while on vacation in Arizona recently. Irvin Enriquez Olvera, 30, was visiting Arizona with his wife and parents at the end of March when a family friend said they took a wrong turn. Oh, this is some terrible luck. I'm guessing these people are illegals if they were detained by Border Patrol. But so they took a wrong turn and they encountered Border Patrol agents. Olvera says Olvera and his parents, Roberto and Candelaria, were detained, but his wife was not kept in custody, according to a friend of the family. So these people have visiting family in Arizona, presumably they're illegals because they wouldn't be detained by Border Patrol. They make a wrong turn and they end up leading right to Border Patrol. That's terrible luck. There is bad luck and there is even worse luck. That is even worse luck. Let's see. They got a local politician involved, Representative Susan Delbean, and she tweeted out, "Pleased to hear that ICE has released Irvin Enriquez, along with his dad Roberto and mom. My office has been working closely with the family during this difficult time." So basically, Irvin and his dad Roberto have hearings scheduled in Arizona. So if they have hearings, they're definitely illegals. And the wife may have a hearing out of state next month as well. So, well, there are consequences when you break laws. I'm sorry. Am I supposed to be sympathetic here?
Man, you're way out of line.
You're such a mean person, Jason. Listen, there's just consequences. If there are no consequences for breaking laws, why have them? I mean, seriously, why have laws if they are not going to be upheld? Okay, up next, we have progressives continue to slander a close advisor to the president as a white nationalist and slander Donald Trump as a white nationalist. I think Stephen Miller, who's the one being slandered, should ready some lawsuits. That's what I think. But we're going to get into more of that and a lot more with me, Jason Matera, filling in for Jason Rantz.
Beep, beep, beep.
afternoon and welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. My name is Jason Matera, filling in for Jason Rantz today. New poll out on the 2020 New Hampshire Democratic primary. It's from Political Polls. Okay, Tom, trick question. Jay Inslee is polling here. Where do you think he's polling out? This is New Hampshire, just released on the Twitters. What do you think Jay Inslee is at?
Somewhere between 0 and 0.5.
Okay. It's a good guess. He's at 0%. He's literally polling at 0%.
I hit the goalpost.
Yes, you did hit the goalpost. You had a manageable goalpost there. You didn't far exceed anyone's expectations of Jay Inslee. He's polling at 0%. And we think about this. New Hampshire is the first primary, right? Because Iowa is a caucus. Is it still the first primary? I think it's still the first primary. The Democrats changed a lot of it, but certainly within the top first three. And New Hampshire's pivotal. You win New Hampshire or come close, and it gives you life for the next primaries. South Carolina and others. He's at 0%. Joe Biden leads the pack at 23%. 0%. And yet we, the taxpayers, are coughing over millions of dollars for his security protection, and he won't reimburse. His campaign won't reimburse. His vanity. I mean, I don't even think it's a vanity run, to be honest, because you have to be polling more than 0%. I mean, nobody knows who he is. They probably asked Jay Inslee, who's that? Hickenlooper. Hickenlooper is at 1%. Hickenlooper, a former governor of Colorado, who's a weird name, is higher than Jay Inslee. There's a guy, Delaney, in there. Do you even know who Delaney is?
No.
Delaney's at 1%. I don't even know who Delaney is. He's a businessman. He was a congressman. I forget. But there we have Jay Inslee. Okay. This is just the amount of slander that goes on regarding Trump officials or Trump proponents, especially those who are close allies in the White House, is so out of control. Stephen Miller, who's a senior policy advisor for the president, does many of his speeches. He's the one in charge of creating and organizing from within the policies regarding immigration. I've known Stephen Miller. He used to, when I was in D.C. many years ago, covering politics, Miller was a PR spokesperson for Jeff Sessions. He's a spokesperson for Sessions, did his handled all his media when Sessions was chairman of the budget committee and then chairman of the Judiciary Committee. And Miller's a good dude. Like he's a good guy. Very wonky. Knows his issues, and he's not someone who many of these staffers have inflated egos. I mean, nobody knows who they are outside of this bubble that is the Beltway in Washington, D.C., and they're like, oh, I represent this guy. Big deal. Big whoop. Miller was never that guy. He was always about the cause. So Ilhan Omar, the Democrat, new Democrat congressman out of Minnesota, took to Twitter to call Stephen Miller a white nationalist. A white nationalist. That's abhorrent. I mean, I honestly hope Stephen Miller, he's probably not. He's just too busy. But I wish there were consequences and lawsuits for slander and libel were brought against these politicians. You just can't call someone cavalierly a white nationalist. And there's nothing to back it up. Just because Stephen Miller is a big advocate of a more organized and productive immigration policy. Somehow the guy's a white nationalist. Getting a hold of what's going on at the border. He's a white nationalist. Ilhan Omar, the person who should not be ascribing any racist motivation to an individual, considering that she's the one, this is the person, if I'm remembering correctly, who said that Jews were hypnotizing the world. Oh, that's not racist or anything. She said Jews only care about the Benjamins. No, that's not anti-Semitic or anything. She said Jewish Americans, well, they have dual loyalty. No, that's not an anti-Semitic trope. And this woman's going to call somebody else a racist, a white nationalist? Stacey Abrams, failed gubernatorial candidate out in Georgia, who still thinks she won. I don't know how. She's asked. So CNN, so you have a member of Congress who slanders Stephen Miller as a white nationalist. Not true. Not even close. Then CNN brings on Stacey Abrams and says, oh, Stacey, what do you think? Do you think Stephen Miller's a white nationalist? And Stacey Abrams says, I believe that what we've seen from Stephen Miller is vestiges of white nationalism. Vestiges of white nationalism. So maybe not full-blown white nationalist, but he's flirted. There's flirtation. There's vestiges. There's increments of inclinations towards white nationalism. And we've never been able to fully investigate Stephen Miller. This is so outrageous that someone can be besmirched and there is no accountability from the media. They just toss up these questions like beach balls, and Stacey Abrams, who looks like a beach ball, I'm sorry, that was mean.
God, come on.
Me. God forgive me. God forgive me. I mean, if I really wanted to be mean, I would talk about the gap between her teeth. But that would be over the line. That would be over the line. I wouldn't do that because we have standards here at KTTH. Standards that don't apply apparently to Stacey Abrams, who can just slander a member of a member of the White House as vestiges of white nationalism. That is just it's just maddening, especially because I know a lot of these people, and they're good people. They work crazy number of hours. I bet you Stephen Miller is working 14 to 18 hours every day, even on weekends, because it's a demanding, grueling job. And they don't get paid that much. I mean, their salary looks like, oh, they're making six figures. Yeah, you're making six figures working 16 to 18 hours a day. Outrageous. All right, Jason Matera here filling in for Jason Rantz. When we come back, CNN is asking this probing question. No, not if Stephen Miller's a white nationalist, but asking, how is requesting Donald Trump's tax returns political? Democrats aren't being political. Yeah, right. That and a lot more with me, Jason Matera, filling in for Jason Rantz.